through that, okay? So today, I want to begin this morning's message by telling you about one of the most important and life-changing moments in my own spiritual journey in my history. It occurred when I was a college student, and I was a volunteer in the youth ministry of Wooddale Church, the parent church to Northwood. So the youth pastor at Wooddale Church had resigned, and I was a volunteer in the high school ministry. And as they were trying to think about the different responsibilities of what to do, I was asked to teach Sunday school for this particular Sunday. Now, there was about 80 to 100 students in the high school group at that time, and I had taught small groups in as being a volunteer, but also in my younger years and just kind of growing up in the church. I'd been a part of children's ministry. I'd done several things in ministry, but I'd never taught a group that size. So standing in front of 80 people to talk was like a first for me. I'll never forget the lesson that I taught that day. It was from Psalm 1. I chose that passage because I'd been taking a class in Bethel College on Psalms, and I thought this was just a great psalm. And so here's what it says. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. But not so the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. So in teaching that group of high school students that day, something really, really good happened to me. God moved in my life in a powerful and personal way. It was during that lesson that I felt God speaking through me. I felt the presence of God within me. It was a powerful time, and when the lesson was done, several students just sort of came up and told me how much they enjoyed the lesson. Some of my other volunteer peers told me how much they enjoyed the lesson. So I look back on that day and in that moment, it was a turning point. It was then that I knew God wanted me to become a pastor. I had felt the yearnings, the desires of that earlier in my life, but this was sort of the moment when God just kind of pushed me forward to say, this is what it is I want you to do with your life. Also, it was the day that I realized that the Holy Spirit had given me the gift of teaching. Now, I didn't, not to say I'm the greatest teacher of all, don't hear me say that, but it was something that I felt God had given to me because I experienced it by doing it. It was a powerful moment. And ever since that day, and even before that day, you know, when I read the Bible, I often read it and I say, God, speak to me, but I also would say to myself, so if I were to teach this, how would I teach this? So sort of that just intuitive desire to teach the Word of God. And then also what I experienced that day was affirmation. Affirmation from the people around me, because sometimes we have a hard time seeing ourselves clearly. We need the affirmation, the words of people around us to tell us what it is that we don't sometimes see in ourselves. And that day I got confirmation when I needed it from people I needed it from. So God used that moment in my life in a powerful way. And that's why I tell you that story. I tell that story because as we get to Ephesians 4, 7 through 12, the passage we're looking at today in our journey through the book of Ephesians, it talks about spiritual gifts. Three times in these five verses, Paul talks about spiritual gifts. And I've come to this conviction in my life, not just because it's my conviction, but I've also heard other people say it this way, that beyond the discovery of finding Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what we heard Michael talk about a little bit ago, beyond that, the second greatest personal discovery you can have, spiritual discovery you can have in your relationship with God, is knowing what your spiritual gift is or what your gifts are. Because when you know what your spiritual gifts are, then you know what God wants you to do with your life and your ministry. Because God wants all of us to be involved in ministry. The big idea of today's message talks about that, that God wants all of us to know and use our spiritual gifts to help the church thrive. So for the next three Sundays, friends, we're going to kind of camp out on spiritual gifts. We're kind of doing a mini-series in the bigger series of the book of Ephesians, and we're going to camp out here for a couple weeks to talk about spiritual gifts. And my hope is this, that by the time that we're done, we'll all know not just more about spiritual gifts, but we'll be further down the road in discovering what our spiritual gift is. Because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God has given you a supernatural ability, a spiritual gift. And knowing our spiritual gifts, friends, is the greatest win-win deal. When we know what our gift is, we grow in our relationship with God. And also, the church begins to thrive and prosper. So the church benefits, but also we benefit. And that is win-win when you think about it. So these next 3 weeks, do your best to come each week. And if you miss a Sunday, because I know sometimes it happens, that you can go online, you can listen to the message because they get posted on our website. But make sure you pay attention the next couple of weeks as we talk about spiritual gifts. For your sake, for Northwood Church's sake, for the kingdom of God's sake, do it. So let's talk then about Ephesians 4, 7 through 12. Here's what it says. Paul writes, however, however he, or God, has given each one of us a spiritual gift. Gift here is the word grace. We've been talking about grace, living grace. So he has given each one of us a spiritual gift, a special gift, through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also ascended or descended to our lowly world. It's talking about the incarnation, how Christ, who was in heaven, left the glory of heaven and came and dwelt among us and lived among us as a human being. That's what Paul's referring to there. And the same one who descended to us is now the one who has ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So again, as I mentioned a moment ago, three times we see in these 5-6 verses, Paul mentions spiritual gifts. And so this morning I want to answer 6 basic questions about spiritual gifts, about how to know what our gifts are and how to use our gifts to help the church thrive and for us to grow spiritually in our own relationship with God. So here's the first question. First question is, what is a spiritual gift? Now, what are you talking about, spiritual gift, Brian? What is that? So here's a favorite memorable definition that has stuck with me over the years, and that is a spiritual gift is a spirit-given ability for ministry to others. It's a spirit-given ability for ministry to others. And there are 3 important ideas to grasp about this when it comes to what that means. So the first thing to understand is the source of the spiritual gift we've been given is the Holy Spirit. It is God himself. It's not us. Spiritual gifts come to us from God. They have their origin in him and not us. In other words, it's not just something that we work up in ourselves. It is a supernatural gift that the Holy Spirit, that he's the one who gives it to us. He's the source of our gift. The nature, that's the second idea about spiritual gifts that's important to understand, that spiritual gifts are a spiritual ability. They're a spiritual ability, not a natural talent, but a spiritual ability that produces spiritual results in ministry towards others. And when we use our gifts, there is a spiritual impact on others. Sometimes we're aware of that, but honestly, mostly we're not aware of the spiritual impact that we make on other people when we're doing ministry, when we're exercising the gifts God's given to us. And I want to stop right here and make sort of an important distinction between spiritual gifts and natural talents. Because not long ago, there was a survey done by George Barna. Remember George Barna? He's the national pollster when it comes to Christian stuff. And so George Barna did a survey about spiritual gifts and Christians. And it revealed that believers are confused about the difference between natural abilities and talents and spiritual gifts. The survey said that some believers listed the following as their spiritual gifts: a sense of humor, or singing, or happiness, or patience, or jobs, or creativity, or their home. Now, those are maybe things which we have, but they're not necessarily spiritual gifts. They're not listed in the Bible as spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not natural talents or material blessings. At the same time, though, God may use our talents, God may use our abilities and material blessings as a means or a platform to use our spiritual gifts. Let me give you some practical application or explanation of what I mean by that. So talk about music for a minute. Is music a spiritual gift? Some people think, oh, sure, yeah, we love our musicians here on Sunday. They have the spiritual gift to lead us in worship. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that music is a spiritual gift. It is a talent. It is an ability. It is a skill that someone acquires over the course of development. Sometimes some people have a greater affinity for that and ability to do that. But music is not ever listed as a spiritual gift. But here's what happens when some musicians use their musical ability. God uses them to teach truth about him. God uses that musician to encourage people, to build them up in their faith. Sometimes uses that musician to proclaim the message of Christ, and it's kind of an evangelistic gift. So they may not have the gift, or they're using their music as an evangelistic gift to help others. I look forward to when Jason Gray comes here on February 29th. You know, Jason Gray is a national recording artist. He writes great music. You know, he's written some really great songs. He's written a song about that, remind me who I am, sort of our identity in Christ. That is a powerful truth of teaching. Could Jason Gray perhaps have the gift of teaching or encouragement, and music is the platform by which he uses that gift? I think so. If you were here at Christmas Eve, we had some great, I think one of the best Christmas Eve services we've ever had in my time at Northwood. And there was a special time in the service when Jenna Holst and Alicia Detterman had a violin duet. Were you here? You remember that? I mean, just, it gave me chills when I was there. It gives me chills to talk about it again. But God used their musical skill to minister deeply to everybody who was present. It was a holy moment how God used their musical ability to do ministry. And then also, I think about, here's another example. So on, we do Alpha, we have Carol Guchala, who cooks just a gourmet meal, a delicious meal, sort of rolls out the red carpet to make sure everybody feels they're going to get a great meal. Even the guy who owns a restaurant compliments the meal they created at Alpha. Okay, that's pretty cool if you ask me. So is cooking a spiritual gift? No, cooking is an ability, it's a talent, but it's a platform to do and to use a spiritual gift. Carol, I think, has the gift of helps. She has the gift of hospitality. She has the gift of mercy. And she sort of shows that then by using the platform of cooking. There is a great story in the Bible which further illustrates this. It's a story of a woman named Tabitha. Tabitha was a woman who died. And as she was there, and they had her deceased body laying in a room, there were all kinds of widows which came to grieve her loss. And when Peter showed up, and Peter eventually raised her back to dead in a miraculous miracle, but as Peter was arriving, all these widows were wailing in their grief. And they began to tell Peter about how Tabitha had sewn all the garments that they were wearing. So what was her gift? Was her gift perhaps service? Was her gift giving because she made these garments for these widows? But God used then that spiritual gift in her life by then making garments, by her being an excellent seamstress. There's an example of how it is that God has a gift, but we actually exercise that gift in all kinds of different ways. So that's the difference between a natural talent and a spiritual gift. Again, a spiritual gift is there's a spiritual impact when we use the gift that God has given to us. Got that? Is that clear? Let's talk about the third idea about spiritual gift here and what it is in the definition. And that is the purpose is to minister to others, not to draw attention to ourselves. That's not to say, I have this gift, everybody look at me and affirm me for my gift. It is to use that gift to minister to others, to build up the body of Christ. Now, the truth is this. When we use our spiritual gift, we experience joy, we experience fulfillment in what we're doing, but God is using our gift to benefit others and to help others. There's a spiritual impact on others. Sometimes we're aware of that, but most often we're not. Now, put all of that together, that explanation about the source, about the nature, about the purpose of gifts, and I love what my friend Leith Anderson says about spiritual gifts. Here's sort of a condensed definition of the whole thing. Write this down if you want to get it in one idea. Spiritual gifts, your spiritual gift is God's job for you. It's God's job for you. It's sort of where your sweet spot comes together in terms of who you are and where he's placed you and the needs are right in front of you. God has purposed for you this gift, knowing your personality, your life, your situation, your present and your future. Your spiritual gift is your sweet spot. And friends, not knowing your spiritual gift and using your spiritual gift is like having $100,000 in the bank and doing nothing with it. Or it's like having a world-class automobile in your garage but never putting the keys in the ignition and driving it out of the garage. It's not doing what God made you to do, what God made you to do. So that's the first question, what is a spiritual gift? Here's the second question, how many spiritual gifts are there? So in the program this morning, you have a list of all the different spiritual gifts. So go ahead and get that brochure out and take a look at it, if you would. That's a definition of each of the 19 different gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're going to talk about over the next couple of weeks. Also, if you look up on the screen, I think we've got a list of the passages where we've got this different spiritual gifts listed. So there are four parts of the New Testament where Paul writes about spiritual gifts, or Peter writes about spiritual gifts. The first of these is in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. We see there seven different spiritual gifts, okay? So that's the first thing. Then also we look into, is the next one 1 Corinthians? Mark? Yep, 1 Corinthians or Ephesians, whichever one you can put up there. All right, so Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 have these five spiritual gifts listed. Then if we go to the next slide, that would be 1 Peter 4:10, 11. There's teaching and preaching and helps. And then if we go to 1 Corinthians 12, that's the last passage in the Bible that we see writing about spiritual gifts. We see that there are 13 different gifts of the Holy Spirit that are listed there. Now, if you do a little bit of examination, that four list of different spiritual gifts, they don't all include the same gifts, which there's not one complete or definitive list. Some gifts are repeated and some are not. And what that means, friends, is that there's no master list of gifts, but we do know some specific gifts. We don't know exactly how many gifts there are. There could be more than this, but these are the ones which the New Testament clearly lists for us in terms of these are spiritual gifts. So that's important to know how many spiritual gifts there are. We don't know exactly, but we know there's several. There's lots. And you have a list of the ones which are in the New Testament, which we have specifically mentioned in those four passages. Here's the third question. How many gifts do I have, and who decides which gifts I receive? Well, the Bible speaks about that really clearly. Ephesians talks about it in verse 7, but also 1 Peter 4:10 and 1 Corinthians 12 says this, that God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And then also Corinthians, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So how many gifts do you have from what we just read? You have at least one. At least one. Most likely you have more than one because gifts are often coupled with others. So if somebody has the gift of leadership, for example, most likely they also have the gift of wisdom because leadership involves wisdom, right? Making good and wise decisions. Or if you have the gift of pastoring, then typically you probably have the gift of teaching. Those things get coupled together as well, caring for people. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be necessarily a vocational pastor, but it means that maybe in the context of a small group or in one-to-one ministry or teaching children's Sunday school class, you have the gift of teaching, pastoring, and shepherding those people that are in front of you. And on it goes. So often gifts, while we have at least one, sometimes that's coupled with another gift. And who chooses what gifts we have? Do we choose the gifts we have? The answer to that is no. The Holy Spirit is the one who chooses what gifts we have. And why is it that God chooses the gifts that we have? Well, we might choose more visible gifts or more prominent gifts. Well, I want that gift. I want to be like that person. So that's the gift I would like to have. And God doesn't choose based on what it is we want. God chooses what's best for the church and what's best for us because he knows far better than what we need and what we should do with the gifts that God's given, that he's given to us. So God knows what fits us and what the church needs. So he places gifts in people and people in churches. God is sovereign and knows what's best for us and for the church. The bottom line is this. All the gifts are important and all the gifts are necessary. It's sort of like your body. Which part of your body is most important to make sure your body functions? I know we could say the brain or the heart. Those things are really, really critical and important because it determines so much the rest of our body. But is the foot important to us? Absolutely. Is the hand important to us? Are our ears important to us? Our nose, our mouth? All those things are really important to us. They all have a function. And that's what Paul says in terms of comparing spiritual gifts to the body. He says in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we're all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts or those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So all the different spiritual gifts are important for the church to do its work, just like every part of our body is important for our body to do what it's supposed to do. So that's question number three. Here's question number four. So how do I discern what gifts that God has given to me? Because here's what it says in Corinthians, what Paul wrote. Now about spiritual gifts or gifts of the spirits, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. So here's this a clear teaching that God wants us to know what our gifts are, what our gift is, and not to be uninformed about it. So how do we know what our gift is? Well, here's three E's to think about of how you can sort of apply this to your life to discern what your spiritual gift is. The first is to examine what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. And as you're examining what the Bible says, then to pray for discernment. So examine what the Bible says. So read the passages that I mentioned earlier from 1 Corinthians 12, from Romans 12, from 1 Peter 4, from Ephesians 4. Read those passages, and as you're reading them, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what gifts you have. Second of all, learn from ministry experiences. You know, when you think back to the places you've been involved in ministry, where you volunteered, where you've done something, when is it that you have felt sort of the sweet spot for you, where God has confirmed to you, that's what it is that I made you to do? My story of when I was a college student and began teaching Sunday school, that to me was that confirming moment for me. So when have you had something like that happen? Then also, not just learn from your experiences, but also expect confirmation from others. Sooner or later, somewhere where you're doing ministry, where you're volunteering, somebody's going to say to you, thank you. You know, what you did really made a difference in my life. God used you in my life in this way. That is confirmation that you're ministering in your sweet spot, that God is using you to where do what he wants you to do. So expect confirmation from others. So examine what the Bible says, learn from your ministry experiences, and expect confirmation from others. Here's the fifth question. That's, can I grow my spiritual gift? Does my spiritual gift grow? And what do you think the answer to that is? The answer is yes. Absolutely it is yes. Paul wrote to Timothy when he was a young pastor, this is why I reminded you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. So friends, yes, God wants us to grow our gifts. So here are some spiritual gifts. Here's where spiritual gifts and natural talents have some similarity. Like athletes who grow their abilities, like musicians who grow their skills, so it is that we are to grow our spiritual gifts as we use them more and more. They become stronger and better the more we use them. But here's the deal when it comes to spiritual gifts. Too many Christians don't know their spiritual gifts. They ignore the fact they have spiritual gifts. They neglect them and then yet not using them. And what's the result? Well, they don't grow. The church doesn't thrive and prosper. The church's impact is limited, which is why Paul wrote to Timothy, do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress. So we are to grow our spiritual gift that God has given to us, whatever that gift may be. Here's sort of a related question for every parent in the room. Does God give children spiritual gifts? Does the Holy Spirit gift children that are maybe 7 or 8 or 5 or 6? And I would contend that yes, he does. That when a child becomes a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in them, and the Holy Spirit gives them a gift. I've seen this from experience in terms of how young children on their own begin to minister to other people. I've had young children say some wonderful things to myself because they're encouraging me. And I think they've had the gift of encouragement. I know a friend who, when he was a young boy and he lived in a poor area of the world in the Philippines, he would often come home from school and from play shirtless and shoeless because he would play with other children who didn't have shirts and shoes. It was kind of got to be a bit of a problem for his missionary parents that, you know, they had to keep getting him new shirts and new shoes. And to this day now, this man is an adult. You know what he does? He gives enormous amounts of sums of money to help people, to help ministries. He had the gift of giving when he was a young child. He has the gift of giving now as an adult. God gave him that gift when he was a child, and that's continuing to grow and to blossom in a wonderful way. So yes, God gives spiritual gifts to children that fit them and their maturity and their development at that time. Here's the sixth and last question. You probably know the answer to this one. What does God want me to do with my spiritual gifts? So can you guess what the answer to that one is? Use them. Exactly. Use them. In fact, use them well. In 1 Peter 4, Peter writes, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So God's given you a gift if you're a believer, and God's word for you and encouragement is to use your gift well to serve one another. And, you know, I stop and I think about that too. What does it mean that God has given you at least one spiritual gift? At least one. To me, it means to me that God loves me, that God has plans for my life, that I am special in God's eyes, and that's true for all of us. God loves us, he has plans for our life, he has dreams for us, and he shows that by giving us gifts. Here's a second answer to that question about does God want me to use my spiritual gifts? Never be lazy with what God has given you. Serve enthusiastically. Romans 12 says it this way, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. So someplace and somewhere as a believer in Jesus Christ, serve the Lord half-heartedly, out of duty. Serve the Lord what? Enthusiastically, with all of your heart, with all of your desire. Find a way and a place to do that. So last week I gave you homework. This week I'm going to give you some more homework, okay? I'm kind of racking it on here. I'm that professor in college, that teacher in high school. It keeps giving you homework every time we come to class. Today's a bit of a class. So here's your homework for this coming week before next Sunday. That is pray and and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal your gift or your gifts to you. You've got the list of the gifts that are in front of you. Read through that list. See what is it maybe kind of pops out to you as you're reading through that list and pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what your gifts are. Read those passages in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4. 12 and 4 are the key numbers there. But pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal your gifts to you. Read those passages in the Bible then, as I mentioned. And third, ask at least one other believer what spiritual gifts they see in you. Get that feedback from somebody else. What do they see in you that perhaps you don't see in yourself? All right? You got it? I'm going to ask you next week if you did your homework. And I'll give you a grade, too, next week. That's kind of easy on you this week. But do the homework and come back next week and see what God does in your life. Because, again, God wants you to know and to use your spiritual gifts so that you thrive spiritually, so that the Northwood Church thrives spiritually. The kingdom of God grows because of what you do. God's invited us into his mission, his great work in the world. And spiritual gifts is one of the ways that he wants to include us in all of that. Isn't that great? Isn't that really encouraging to know? It is for me. Let's pray. So thank you, Father, that you have gifted us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've come to live inside of us through faith in in Jesus Christ. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you transform us, you change us, you develop character in us like humility and gentleness and patience. But also, Holy Spirit, that you give us gifts for ministry. So help all of us in these next couple of weeks as we go into this topic of learning more about spiritual gifts. May we discern what our gifts are and not just know what they are, but Lord, may we do what the Bible says. May we use them and use them well. May we serve you, Lord, enthusiastically in the places and the ways you've called us to and gifted us to, I pray. And I ask all of this in Jesus' great name. Amen.